Amen. We thank the good Lord for letting us be here.
Yes.
Amen. And we thank him for all the praise that went up. Amen. Just the ability to praise him is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes.
Amen. Somebody wanted to praise God and was not able to do it. Amen. So I thank him for letting us have the health and strength to be in his house and utter a word of praise to his holy name. Amen. Amen. So we're not going to prolong the time. We do have a good word here from the Lord. Amen. And what I have found, and maybe you found this too, is that the word of God is, as I like to say, gets gooder and gooder. It's bad English, but it really does describe the situation. Amen. So we're going to take a look today at a couple of passages as we turn the corner from Thanksgiving. And as we always say, Thanksgiving is typical. It's just routine for those that are saved. When you save, you thank God all the time for being saved. I do. And I thank him for everything he does because he didn't have to do anything. So we're thankful all the time. So if man want to throw a special day for Thanksgiving, that's okay. I got no problems with that. Same thing I say about people who criticize Christmas. Well, how do you know that's when Christmas? Well, I say I don't, but I celebrate Christmas every day. So it don't make me no difference. So 25th, that's fine. That works for me. Because I'm going to celebrate him on the 26th, the 24th, the 30th, the 31st, the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. And we go on with that. So one more day, that's the day y'all do it. So we getting on y'all's schedule now. Amen. So if you don't like that day, then you stay home that day or whatever. Don't do what you got to do. But I'm going to praise him every day. I tell everybody, I can find him. I got a PhD degree. Praise him daily. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise him daily. So Christmas Day, when they call it, that's just as good as any other. Amen. But having said that, not to prolong the time, we're going to go ahead because I do have a few things that I think are important that we need to look at for this particular season. Some of it just to get our heads screwed on right for the holiday. Amen. Just to remind us of some of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. So read with me, if you don't mind, a very familiar passage for this time of year. And this is found in the, as I like to call it, y'all know if you study with me anytime, we're going to go to the Gospel of Isaiah. Amen. The Gospel of Isaiah. That's really the prophet Isaiah. If you don't mind, you can just stand and stretch your legs if you feel like it. And let's read this together, these verses. And as I say, these are familiar verses, especially for this particular season. But we want to extract some new thoughts and hang some new ideas in your mind concerning these verses. And then we're going to look at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, and also take a glimpse in the New Testament at the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. Dr. Luke, and I'm having an NASB translation here for the New Covenant. And we'll read from the KJV and the King James. Isaiah 9 and 6, read with me, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. That's a very famous set of words there. And we see that it's kind of like Christmas card material there, even so much we see it. Amen. But let's read from the New Testament, from the New American Standard Bible, NASB, from Luke chapter 2, verse 28. Then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "My Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed." We've read the prophecy of Simeon in the book of Luke. Dr. Luke, the evangelist, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we want to use for a subject for this message today, spreading the love of Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do, Lord God. We thank you just for being God all by yourself, Lord. And we thank you for giving us the activity of our limbs and just the ability and the mindset to come in and praise you and study your word and help spread the good news to the world. Father, we ask for more power, both now and into the future, that we might have power to go forth by your Holy Spirit and spread the good news of your love. We ask you today, Father, be among us here in the sanctuary. Help us to take a deeper look into your word, Lord. And when we go out, Lord God, to be filled with your Holy Spirit and energized to serve. We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen, 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 amen. So the whole idea here of this season, and I like to highlight this for the saints, is that we use for a topic for this message, spreading the love of Christmas. And when you think through it, it's really kind of somewhat of a kind of a nutshell of what happened one time, long time ago, back to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah had given. Isaiah said that there would be a child born and a son given. And so when we zoom in on that, it's talking about this particular child had always been thought of throughout the years as the Messiah. He was called the Messiah all the way from the book, early books of the Bible. He was looked forward to being basically the Messiah of the Lord. And the Messiah, the term there, is the Christ in the New Testament. And also the... He is the Moshiach Nagid. Daniel calls him Messiah the Prince. And so he basically is the one who God sent in order to rectify the problems in the world. And so basically rectification of the whole world was performed by Messiah. And so the thing is, man always has trouble understanding God's position on things. That's one of the biggest problems in the world, is that people don't understand God's position. They look at the bad stuff that happens in the world, and they try to either shift the blame to God or act as though there is no God just because bad stuff happens in the world without paying any attention to all the good stuff that's going on in the world all the time. God is a provider for everybody. And when people misuse what God does, that's not... basically not his plan. It's not coming from the good side of God, let's say, toward man, because God, the Bible says, is love. And so the problems are not to be given to God as something that he causes or brings to pass, but God has been loving toward mankind throughout the ages and the generations. And he continues to be. And so basically you and I, being a part of the church, or which are the called out ones, have the privilege to spread the message of God's love. And God expedited that by the first Christmas. And so we want to take a look at that. Keep in mind, think about how people must have been in times before Jesus Christ was born. It had to be kind of a different atmosphere looking forward to the Messiah than it is for us, where we look back and we have historic information about the Messiah. So we know he did, in fact, come, and God made it so that the information that we have is indelibly stamped into the whole world and the whole scheme of the world. And so primarily, you and I, who are part of the called out people, those who've been given the open eyes to see what God is doing and what God has always meant, we should be spreading the love of God as we extend this message of Christmas. That's why I say we talk about it all the time. It's not just a December 25th kind of thing for the church. It's the everyday business of the church to spread the love of Christmas, if you will, because Christmas is the first Advent. And we would have to say this about the event. It's not that we have gotten it all tangled up in worldly stuff and folks looking for this, that, and the other. instead of understanding and getting to the meat of what it really is. So it just blesses me all through the year, and especially at this time of year, to talk about the love of God, the fact that Christmas is all about God's love, that he's given his son in order that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So let's take a glimpse at this old covenant prophecy here, one of the most popular, perhaps, of all from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, for unto us. Now notice that word us, that includes all people in the world. Now in the specific context, it speaks of Israel, the children, the covenant people of God. And Isaiah is writing here, this is after King Uzziah has died, and it's kind of a grim time in the history of Israel to some degree. And God gives him a prophecy that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, telling the gender of the child. We thought amniocentesis was new. But see, God already knew his son would become forth as a male child, you see. And so he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What kind of child, what kind of son? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wow, the government. Now, you know, when we get to government, a lot of people stumble over the government, even today. And so I want to set your mind at ease so you can quit worrying about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and whoever else you might find in government. What we have to do as the saints of the Most High God is realize that the government is God's idea. He set it up. He made it so that men would be in charge of other men and rule over others in the world. That's Genesis 9:6. Actually, the inverse of the same verse in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 is the institution of human government. Okay? And so government has its purpose from God, that it is supposed to make the world better. And in a lot of ways it does. We have to give credit where credit is due. Can you imagine being in a world that had no governance, nobody in control, nobody in charge? What do you think the lawless people who don't believe God would do if they didn't know the police were coming, for example? You know, they don't half care about them sometime now, but if they weren't coming at all and everybody knew it, it would be horrible. You think it's bad out there now? Wait till you see when there's no army, no military, no any of these things that are government controlled. So the government basically is a good thing. So you and I don't have to get hung up in it. This is the part I like, and I want to share with you today. It doesn't make any difference who's in City Hall. Doesn't make any difference who is in the Kremlin. It does not make any difference who's in Washington, D.C. in the White House, because God is over them all. And he has allowed them through the years to regulate his world. But he, the Bible says in the book of Acts, he raises them up and he sets them down whenever he's ready. So, you know, the saints of God have to get out of the mindset of being worried about what the government is doing. And that doesn't mean be lazy and don't vote and all that. You go vote, you vote your convictions, do everything you're supposed to in involvement with it. And we even look and we see people of God in the government. Folks like Daniel, Nehemiah, Esther, we can go on and on naming people who were involved in government. Joseph, we can start naming folks in the word. So get involved. Understand that God is there. The government is under God. The government is over the people, but it's under God, and it can't do anything if God does not allow it. So keep your biblical definition of government in place. That'll help you when the government is doing ignorant stuff that you don't approve of or that you dislike or that you think is unfair. You see, realize they got a report to God. They get a report card from the Lord. And if they ain't right, God will set them down. He can send you to the field, ask Nebuchadnezzar, to eat grass for 7 years. You see what I'm saying? And so God has raised up kings. He's knocked them down. So keep your mindset on God, who is higher than the government. And he's given government for your better benefit. So that'll help you a lot with a lot of the stuff that's going on. But it says here, the government shall be up on his shoulder. Who is that? That child that was born, that son that's given? He is going to have the governments of the world. It says in Revelation that eventually there will be this statement, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall rule and reign forever and ever. So that's where it's heading. See, it's heading for fulfillment of Isaiah 9:6. So it's going to be, might be a rough road getting there. But we have to be like the Hebrew boys who stood up against the king and said, hey, king, we honor you, king. But we ain't doing none of that stuff you're talking about. Bow down and worship an idol? No, sir. Yeah. Well, we're going to throw you in the furnace. Well, we don't care. Throw us in there because our God can deliver us. He's able. But if he doesn't, we'd rather be in the furnace than disobey our God. See, so we want to have that tenacity to stand for the truth no matter what the government says. So you can defy the government when they defy what God has said. And don't worry about it. God will be there with you in the midst of that process. And so unto us this child is born, his son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. We know where they're going. And this is not just any average, everyday person here. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Not only will he be man and the best ruler the earth has ever known, but he will also be God. He's God the Son. He is the everlasting Father. This verse really it codifies the deity of Jesus Christ and lets you know that this Son, he is God. So don't let anybody sell you a cheap Jesus. It's not God. Don't let anybody denigrate Jesus in your sight. This text clearly says he is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, what makes you a prince? You have to be the son of a king, right? So he is the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. Therefore, he is also the Prince, Messiah the Prince, as he's called by Daniel, the Moshiach Nagid in the Hebrew. He's Messiah the Prince, you see? And now this is Isaiah writing about this, even before that time. Now notice this, says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Isn't that good news? That there is a government coming up that will have the increase and there will be peace on earth, as it's written in the book of Luke. There will truly be peace. Right now, in the meantime, Jeremiah said there's going to be saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. So right now there's turmoil in the world, but there's coming a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will rule and reign, and they will be true and everlasting peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The only time there will be true peace on earth is when Jesus Christ is enthroned as ruling the governments of the world. Verse number 7, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. See, there's coming a kingdom of everlasting peace. We can't even probably get that in our head. We probably think, what would that be like? We've never seen that, have we? You know, but you can have it in your mind. That's the thing I want you to know. You can have peace in your mind. You just got to have the right mindset. You have to see things the way God says you ought to see it. You have to see it the way the Bible says it is. Then you can set aside all these folks who are tripping and doing craziness and all that. You put that out of your mind. See, concentrate on the right thing. That's why you got to pray your way through this thing. See, and realize that what God says, and I'm going to use this word the way I used to use it before the most recent election, what God says trumps everything else. I almost had to stop saying that because people say, oh, you hear Trump folks get sick and start tripping. But you see what I'm saying? What God says and what he means is higher than anything anybody else said. You see, and so you got to remember that. You got to know that right well in your spirit. You know, so don't let stuff bring you down. You know, like David said, I had to think myself happy. You know, think about what God said, and it's going to put you back where you belong. You don't have to get down and out about what's going on around you. There you go. Pick your own self up by your own bootstraps when you understand what God said. Now, he said that, notice this, this is not some shallow promise. He said he's going to be on the throne of David. King Uzziah had just died when this text was written in Isaiah 6. He was a descendant of David. But it's going to be up on the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. And how do you know this is for sure? Verse, the last part of the verse, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God has given you an ironclad promise. I always like to tell the saints, get in the promise. Get the promise in your mind. Meditate in God's word and his law day and night. Don't let the mundane, typical stuff of the day bring you down. Don't let it thwart your spirit. See, get in the promise of God. Ruminate in it. The kids like to say, I'm going to marinate. They like to say, I'm going to marinate in this thing here. You know, just let it soak in, you know, and enjoy it. And then when this craziness is going on, you can get past it. So it's very important that you and I, being children of God, always kind of just bask in the glory of what God has given us in the light of his word. So as indicated from God by way of Isaiah the prophet, the predictions of the Messiah who was promised to come from God, who was also was to be God, the Son, was as well known, it was a well-known promise that was the product of the culmination of God's deep-seated love for mankind, which he had delivered by way of his people. Realize that God has a plan going on throughout Israel, throughout history, through Israel, the people of Israel. And it was a solid proof of whatever that whatever God promised, he was also well able to perform. See, God promised. That's why he separated the people. Because you know what? He saw how the people all went bad in the first part of the word. When we look in the book of Genesis up to chapter 6, the whole thing went corrupt, didn't it? And God had to wipe it out with a flood. So after the flood, he separated the people for his own possession and gave his word and his promises through them. And he promised to elevate them, and they're still around even today. So you and I have reason to believe that what God said, he is also able to perform. See, you got every reason. The world is configured around Jesus. We could go on and on. And then he's given us as the church the responsibility to export this word to the world. A whole lot of them don't believe what you say, but that's not your business nor your problem. So you just tell it. And then somebody wrote a song, go tell it on the mountain. You go tell it over the hills and everywhere. You see, that's all right. But if they don't believe it, that's not our business. So we just want to export the love of God to whosoever will. Because he said, this is open for everyone. That's how much he loves the world. John 3:16 says that, right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son to whosoever. So we tell it to everybody. So this is the thing that we want to see. And the prophecy is ironclad. The scripture cannot be broken, Jesus said. So with this and many other prophecies from the Old Testament concerning Jesus, God's Messiah, had been accomplished, each one made it more clear. Every time we got another layer of prophecy, it made it more clear that God was not only promising his love for mankind, but was also coming into the human condition to perform just what he had promised, and showing off his purpose to love man, even though mankind would not completely return love back to him. That's interesting, isn't it? God says, I'm determined to love you. I set my affection on you. I'm going to do this. You know, when the prophecy started, soon as sin hit the world, back in Genesis chapter 3, he promised that the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent. So God started to promise, I love you. I see you messed up. You know, this is implied in there. Don't go tell people, oh, Pastor Fisher said God to you. No, you can see that he knew what was happening. He knew sin was going to take the world down an evil course. So he began to promise, I'm sending help. And he passed that on down through the generations until not long ago, 2,000 years ago. And that's why John is so amazed in John 1:14 when he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow, God's promises became flesh. John 1:14. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We knew that he was this one Isaiah was talking about. He's the one Moses wrote about. He's the one Jeremiah wrote about. He's the one Balaam prophesied about. He's the one all the old covenant psalms and prophets wrote about and talked about. See? And we beheld his glory. That had to be amazing. Have you ever just imagined, put yourself in a situation of being one of the 12 that hung out with Jesus? Boy, that had to be incredible. It's like, wow, boy, this is God in the flesh. I don't think they doubted it at all. But the part that brought doubt in their mind was when he subjected himself to the government, the evil government. You know, Peter said, okay, Lord, let's take them out. I got my sword because I know you got power. I've seen you. They came to get him. Judas betrayed him. Y'all know the story. And Peter said, well, okay, we can cut him down because I know who you are. I know who I'm dealing with. Jesus said, no, put your sword away, Peter. He didn't understand that. What? You're going to let these evil folks take you out? He couldn't get that. He couldn't understand that. Judas didn't even think he would do that. Judas thought, oh, that'll press him into showing his power. See, Judas was twisted. He wanted to get in on the good side of the Lord so that he could sit with him and have power and authority. But Jesus said, no, I came to give my life a ransom for many. He's been telling them, I have to be crucified. I got to pay your sin bill. They didn't get it. What does that crucified mean? What is he talking about? That didn't seem like a part of the plan. But the first Christmas is the time when God manifested his love in the flesh. He came exactly like he promised. You would say it looked like he came in a weakness because he was born in a little baby. Wow, how can he save the world? And we see that God made sure it was so all the way up until Jesus, as he said here, look at the prophecy one more time before we move a notch. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Then when it says unto us a son is given, that's 30 years later. Because Jesus, 33 years roughly, Jesus was born as a baby, but he lived for 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years was his earthly ministry. And God gave his son to be crucified at the end of that time. So both of those are covered here in this Isaiah 9:6. So what I want you to see next, our time's getting away quick. I want you to see that there's reasons why, and I have to mention this, ear-tickling preaching is ungodly. And I just have to say that. You need meat. The saints need to hear the word. You need to understand your Bible. You don't need 2 inches of a speck of Bible and a bunch of hogwash. That's not going to get you right. The Bible says you need to be saturated in the word. Meditate in my law day and night. So all of this other stuff you hear, and I want to let you know, I give you a dose this morning of medicine that you need to cut it out. Get your mind in the word. Without the word, you are going to be hustling backwards. That's what my dad used to say. That's a saying that you may not understand. It's going to work against you. It's going to make you weaker when times of trouble come. So you want to saturate yourself in the truth. You know, that's why the psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You in the laws of the Lord day and night, how long is that? That's all day, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? And then you'll be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in the season. Your leaf shall not wither, but and whatsoever you do shall prosper. God says, get in my word, stay in my word. And so another problem that we have, just to mention before we talk about Simeon and time's getting away, is we underestimate the power of indwelling sin. We underestimate it. We want to skim over it. That's what the ear-tickling preaching does. And it doesn't make us take a deep inventory of ourselves. God's going to do what he said. He cannot fail. He loves you. And he'll fix you up if you let him. But if you don't hear from him, guess what? He said that I'm going to cleanse and sanctify you by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That means we need to be at the church or fresh filling of the Spirit all the time, and by the washing with water by the word, he said in Titus. So we need to hear his word. The word wakes up the spirit man on the inside. He gives power to the spirit so that he can overtake the flesh. And Paul told you about the battle in Galatians 5. He said the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you please. So God knew he was going to take a battle inside of us. And how do you get strength? Is that Paul told the Romans in chapter 8 that you have to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And he knew the battle right well. You can read in chapter 7 and you'll find out Paul knew all about it. So there is a serious need of the power of getting the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures to provide deliverance from the strongholds, fetishes, and other actions of the flesh that hinder the progress and the work of the Spirit of God in the believer. I bet you don't hardly ever hear the words like that, fetishes. No, who talks about that at the church? Strongholds, things that mess up your life. You know, and they act like, well, we can't get rid of it, so let's just not talk about it. Yes, you can. If you stay in the word, you can get victory. There is power, resurrection power. We sang about it a little earlier. But you got to stay on the course. Keep your mind in the word. And so basically, a pastoral promise to engage every professing believer and myself to press toward the mark for the prize of Christ's likeness. That's what I want to give you today. And I'm looking for this in the coming year. So you right here who are here today, you're critical to ministry. And I want you to understand who you are in the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you weren't serious. You're here because you love God. And you're serious about his word. And you want to see his power on display. And so you and I, we go out spreading the love of Christmas. We tell others about Christ, but we want to meditate in the deep things of the word so that we can be like this Simeon guy. This is, I got him coming up here next because I'm about done. My time's almost up. In Luke 2, here's a guy been hanging around the temple. Israel is a mess. They're all out of whack. The scribes, the Pharisees, all of them are waltzing around like they're all that in a bag of chips. Folks who are sick are hanging out down at the pool of Bethesda. What you doing over there? This is the temple of God up here. Why are you hanging out over there by the mystical pool? Because there's healing over there. There's power down here. Once some certain time of year, they believe an angel came and stirred the waters. Remember that? Well, why don't you go ask the people who represent God? What's in there? Boy, it didn't happen up there. They ain't got no power. Over here, somebody got healed last year. So people go to other ends looking for, where is the answer? Why don't the people of God have the answer? Why can't you come here and get blessed? Why would you not come here and be healed? Why can't you tell people God has the power to save and heal you? With authority. It really means it. Simeon was such a guy. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. You know why? Because he was in the word. Him and Anna, they were studying the word. Well, it was about time for Messiah to come. There was a designated amount of time. Simeon knew about it. That's the guy we look at, just a few words. I cut the text a little short here. Verse 28 in Luke 2. Then he, Simeon, I'm going to add who he is since I didn't include him in the beginning, took him, who was Jesus, this child that was born, the son that was given, and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. Because he had made a covenant with God. Said, Lord, just let me see the Messiah before I leave you. You know you can ask God for specific stuff and God will give it to you if your heart is right. Doesn't mean you have to be sinless. Nobody is sinless except Jesus. But it's the sincerity of your relationship with God. Ask God for what you really need, what you really want, in sincerity. James said, if you ask the Lord for wisdom, he gives wisdom, doesn't he? And he upbraids not. That means I don't hold fine fault with you, even though I know you got a bunch of them. But I love you so much, that's why I'm sending my son. So I can just wipe that ugliness of relationship out. And when I see you, I see Jesus. If you trust him, that's all I see. I don't see nobody but Jesus. So he has given you, that's why the Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. It's not because you're so sweet and so swell. It's because God loved you so much, he gave his son for you to cover you from all your sin. So I don't want to see your sin. I only want to see Jesus. If you trust him, I cover you with his blood. I cover you with his holiness. I cover you with his righteousness. So if you believe it, be bold. Come boldly before the throne of grace and ask for what you need. Simeon knew that already, that you sent your son already. And now I've seen him with my own eyes, he says here. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. God wasn't behind the curtain like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. No, he was out in the open. This was a public display. But I love you this much. I'm coming right in your midst. Told you about it for centuries. Showed up right on time. And he says, you prepared him in the presence of all people to be a light of revelation. See that? To the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Christ is the glory of the people of Israel. Because it's through the Israelites that the Messiah came. And his father and mother were amazed. Mary and Joseph were, well, how does he know so much about this son? See? And Simeon blessed him and blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And that's still going on today. You see, right now today. So you and I are dispatched to share the love of Christmas, to spread that message. God loves you. You won't have a hope without Jesus. He's the only hope you have. He loves you, and he came to give himself a ransom for you. So the near fulfillment of the prophecy to Simeon, the servant of God, reveals to us that God is willing to take us up on our requests as we are led by his Spirit, and even more as we become increasingly more willing and empowered to export the love of God out to the masses. You and I go forth with his power. That's what Jesus said when he left, right? Taking time to give away the love of God that God has given us. So that's where we are. We have to realize there's something bigger, way bigger than St. Timothy. But it's nothing more powerful than what he's given us. He's given you the love to share it with others. We have to understand it. If we don't understand it, then we're not going to be so willing to share it. But when you understand it, you can share it. You ought to realize God paid the bill entirely. There's nothing anybody owes. That's why the songwriter got that. He said, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to that cross. See what I'm saying? So this is where we got to be. And if we stay there and just let people know, this is all we have to do, notify the world of the love of God. It's the happiest thing I can think of. You can put a Mercedes under my tree, I wouldn't be as happy. I'm not in the Mercedes. But in either case, if it was something, I'm saying the best thing you have is what God has given you. And you have it, be generous. You can be extravagant. But you know what? When you do it, sometimes people look at you like you're an oddball. They listen to that. They actually believe that stuff. I had somebody say that to me one day. I said, oh, yeah, I do. And you need to also. You know? Yeah, I actually do. Yes, that's why I'm here. So let them think you're strange. I don't care what you think. Myself, I'm discharging my responsibility that God has given me. See, and the devil will say, "Well, you know, you ain't all that right." That's true. That's why God gave his son. Because I'm not all that in a bag of chips, and I don't mind telling you. See, that's what the folks up in the temple were doing. They were up there walking around acting like they were so. Holy, we got folk doing it today, everywhere, all around the visible church. A lot of people are doing it today. And have a fancy suit and sprinkle some salt and go through the building with a bunch of razzmatazz. Are you kidding me? The blood of Jesus, nothing else. Nothing else. The blood of Jesus. No rituals, none of that. The blood of Jesus. He gets the glory, he gets the praise. Take off your phony suit, it's not going to help you. Put on a real one, get covered in his righteousness. See, so we invite you. We just want to go ahead. I'm done. I can carry on for days. But if there's anyone here who is not saved, you may come at this time. Amen. I hope that I'm emboldening the ones who are here that believe. And no matter who you are and where God has placed you in life, you realize he put you there for a reason. There's people around you I don't ever see, and there's people around me you don't ever see. I know folks, I hope those people that you all don't ever see. We all do. It's an individual thing. God put you where you are. He picked you personally. Because nobody came on their own. Wherever you are, he put you there. So, I don't like it here. The folks here ain't right. Well, that's why he put you there. That's why he put you there. Shine. Let your light so shine, Jesus said, right? They may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. So we also want to extend an invitation for membership. We do that at this time. If you'd like to unite with St. Timothy, we'd love to take you in right now and include you in the family. Amen. So we give you that opportunity right now. Amen. You may come at this time. Amen. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there's room. We do hope you got a good word today from the message. Amen. Amen.
And as this is the Spirit.